All right, welcome to Cash Comms. I'm the 8-Bit Nobody, and today we have a treat. Today we have someone who brings all the energy of a Blink-182 concert without the alien conspiracies. We have the one, the only, Thong DeLong. Thong, the floor is yours.
Hey, my name is Thong DeLong, but you can call me Mikey.
All right, Mikey. So,
yeah.
When did you start playing music?
I was 12 years old, and my brother gave me a live recording of the Mark, Tom, and Travis show by Blink-182, and I just sang along to it, and then I got a guitar, and then I kind of just like wanted to match the sound coming out of the stereo, and first song I ever played was All the Small Things, and I think I was 12 years old, and it was All the Small Things.
So it was always Blink. It was always the guitar. This isn't something that just kind of happened overnight. It was just like that. Those were the seeds of your musical, like, you know, career, so to speak.
Correct. I was grounded a lot. So all that was really around me was a guitar, because my dad took all my all my stuff, like my, you know, my PlayStation and my TV, my door. So all that was really in my room was a guitar. So it was like, do I just sit down and stare at the wall, or do I just try to, you know, make something out of my time? So it kind of happened that way, in a sense, I guess.
So for those of you who don't know, Thong or Mikey has quite the musical background and the streaming platform. Like, every single show or stream I jump into, it feels like a show. There is a queue where you can request songs. This man knows about 400 plus songs in his catalog. You request it, it goes into the queue, he plays it. There's channel points that do crazy things, like shoot glitter out of cannons or have Will Smith pop out of nowhere and look through binoculars. It's an absolute vibe. And my question to you is, was this always the intent when you decided, like, hey, I'm going to start playing, you know, I'm going to start playing on stream? Did you always want it to be that warm, welcoming, like, crazy atmosphere fun? Or did it just kind of evolve into that?
It honestly evolved. It was a giant accident. I during the pandemic, I had a lot of free time on my hands. I decided to get into audio and get into recording. I had a friend of mine who I used to play in bands with. His career was taking off and it was getting bigger and bigger, and I had other friends that were into audio and music recording, and I was like, I want to try that. I don't want to, like, get big or try anything like that. I just want to see if I can do it, not release music, just record music of my own and just kind of like listen to it in my car whenever I wanted to. So I got in, that's how I did it. You know, I just kind of like slowly got into audio recording, and then I got into like this like deep hole of Reddit of like, oh, if you're gonna get an audio recording, you gotta have a good keyboard. Oh, you gotta have a good interface. Oh, you gotta have a good mic. You gotta have a good Mac. You know, you gotta have all this. And then it was like, you gotta have a good desk. And then I got into desks, and then I got into cable management, and then I got into cameras, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, it sounds really good. And then I had a bunch of my other friends that were started to stream on Twitch. Bands like this band called Code Orange. They were doing a lot of stuff on Twitch where they would do shows, because, you know, there's a pandemic at the time and there were absolutely no live music. So Code Orange was that band to kind of like start this whole live music stream thing. And it was insane. And I was like, this is crazy to see this a band at this level play this stuff. And I kind of just went into this deeper hole of just like seeing, you can play music on Twitch, you can do this. And then I saw other musicians of friends of mine. I saw Andy, and then I saw this guy, Chris Davis from The Ghost Inside, doing it. And I started talking to him again, and he started giving me advice on what to do and things of that nature. And then I saw other musicians, and then I kind of just like took every little thing from each Twitch musician I could find, and I would go like, what do I like to see when I see a Twitch musician? You know what I mean? I don't like to see you know I don't like to see this thing where it's like constant constant like dead noise where it's like song's over and we're just gonna chill. I don't like that. You know what I mean? I when I go to shows, I like to have like, you know, that actual feeling of being at a show where there's like reverb on the microphone, there's echoes, there's like these like medleys, and there's no dead noise. It's constant, like there's no stops. When you're at a show, it's 120 miles an hour, 13, 20 songs, sometimes four songs in a row. And then once the song ends, the last song ends, the show's over. Kind of like Warped Tour, where it's like you play 30 minutes and on that last song, you know, after you play that song, all your stuff's getting off the stage and the next band's going on. And I kind of treat that in a sense of like, this is our last song. And then as the last chorus of that song's playing, you go right to, we raid another streamer immediately. I just like to keep that vibe going. And I just had all these different sets of ideas, and I was like, I want to do it, but I don't know how. And then I just started to, you know, like every other person does when they learn things, they go on Reddit. And I don't know, if maybe that's just me. I like to go on Reddit for UFOs and Twitch.
Totally.
But yeah, I don't know. Right now, I'm still looking at UFOs. But when it comes to this whole thing, it was really, I don't know. It
just kind of happened.
Streaming. But the thing is, I never thought I would do this ever. I never thought this would ever happen. I was only doing this to record music.
Right.
I bought a Mac to record music, and I have not opened up Logic ever. I've only opened up Logic to add a microphone track to stream.
So it was the weirdest. To record music was a gateway drug to everything that this has become.
I've done everything but record music because of this.
Isn't that funny? That was your initial intention, and now you've done everything but, which is, it's so cool in so many ways. And your comedic banter, to get back into like the no dead air, is a perfect segue in between songs. Like your little back and forth with chat or with the dogs and the dog cam is, it's so unique. It's so funny. Like, have you ever done stand up, or have you ever been like, you know, a class clown, so to speak?
No, the class clown thing, I like to think so, but I tend to go a little too far with my jokes a lot. I would play in bands in like high school, and I would do banter, and I would have people in the band say, hey man, after the show, like, yo, you can't say that. Like, you can't say things like that. You can't talk about my friend. You can't talk about my mom like that. You can't. And I'm like, it was a joke. I mean, your mom is really hot, Zach, but you know, I'm sorry. I love talking about like Mrs. Mills. I think you are beautiful. I'm sorry. To this day, you are still the hottest woman I've ever seen. And Zach, what are you going to do, Zach? You going to hit me? No, your mom's hot. Dude, it's a compliment. Shut up. Anyways.
I'm sure Mrs. Mills is listening.
Oh, no, dude, she knows.
She knows.
She knows.
She knows.
She knows. All right. Mr. Mills ain't treating you right. All right. Listen. Oh, man. No, what I'm saying is, I've always, long story short, I am a yes. I've tried to be a class clown, but I'm pretty bad at it because I tend to take my jokes a little too far. If that makes sense.
No,
I don't think it makes sense. Maybe
totally
it does. It does.
I've been in the same.
There's them. It's over 18 on the stream. I have to put mature audience only with the things I say. It's so very bad.
When you went to the military, would you say that got worse? That no filter or.
When I got in, I'm still in. When I got in, it got darker. The humor got. I understood more and more about humor in the military. I didn't understand what embrace the suck meant until I got in, and I'm like, oh, I get it now. I see why these jokes are real, and the humor just got darker. It got a lot
heavier,
vulgar.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, but yes, I feel like now my humor is more, my humor is a lot worse.
Oh no,
it's worse. Yeah, it's worse now. Back then it was just little jokes. Now it's just, it's crazier now, but I have to learn, it can't, No, it can't. If you guys look, I have three screens. If you guys look, on the far right screen, I have text messages from like my friends that are watching say, hey, don't use that joke. No, don't go down. Don't say that again. So I'm constantly looking to the right because so, like I have people that like, hey, I need you to message me like while I'm on stream sometimes because I sometimes get really, I take things too far and I sometimes 100%. That's me. I tend like, I don't know, like I have this weird thing with my ADHD and my anxiety where like after conversations, I tend to replay the entire conversation and hate myself about it. So basically podcasts and me do not get along well.
Is this the first podcast you've done or?
This will be the first and the last one.
Really? Why the last? This has been great so far. Just you don't want to overthink it?
No, I'm just probably going to listen to this and just cringe.
Oh, for sure. That's why I feel the same way about my own voice. I personally hate my own voice. But, you know, that's one of those things. I just throw myself out.
I don't know. I tend to just say a lot. I tend to talk for 10 minutes and then, I don't know. It's like you talk for 10 minutes, but you really just could have said, you really just could have talked for a minute and got to the point. That's me. I tend to like drag things out when I didn't have to be dragged out at all, whenever I have conversations. And, my wife hates that. My friends hate that, but I don't know. I like to go on tangents in conversations. I don't know, I like to add color to it, but
yeah, is this the way you communicate? Nothing wrong with that. I personally enjoy it. I think it's got a very comedic aspect to it.
Well, I appreciate that compliment. So I hope that's a compliment.
Getting back on topic, I saw that you got
Getting back on topics. You see? You can't make up this shit. You can't make up that shit every time. Pick me back on topic. Anyways, see what I mean?
So tell me a little bit about your white Gibson Les Paul.
Why did you bring this up?
Because it's a beautiful instrument.
It's not here anymore. Anyways.
Know, it's about to be fixed. It's about to be fixed. It's coming back.
I love how you said back on topic. Oh, it's good.
It's like I'm just here to direct the conversation. This is your show.
Oh, my God. My Gibson Les Paul custom, it is currently with, it's with Teddy. Teddy is a technician here in Anchorage, Alaska. I found him by accident. He's a Fender technician, USA Fender technician. And he's been modding all my guitars to these specs I want, and here I am going on tangents. I'm sorry.
No, I was about good. To get you're like good. You're on. You're doing great.
He's like a guitar nerd teacher.
Oh, those are the best.
I'm like to a child, you know. It's like, hey, what do you want? I'm like, oh, I want this thing to have like rockets, and I want it to shit ice cream.
I want to turn it to a
and
weapon.
I want it to. Yeah, and he's like, okay, so I guess you just want one pickup and you want the tuner to lock and you just don't want it to break. And I'll just be like, yeah, that. And then he'll do it. Basically, he knows all the technicalities when it comes to like building guitars and stuff. So I would give him like all these different things that I want with a Strat or with a bass, and he'll just like basically build it for me.
So you also play the bass?
Yes, I do. I know, because I had a person in a band that I played with that didn't really show up to practice sometimes, so I would play bass for him.
How small do your hands feel after you play the bass and then pick up a guitar? Is it like, I don't know, when I used to do it, it used to feel so weird. It's just such a different sized instrument.
It is. So if I play bass for just the whole day and I pick up a Strat, I immediately feel like I'm holding a violin every time. I feel the same way about that. So I wish I can still play bass like all the time, but when it comes to Twitch and stuff, I'm constantly learning more and more songs to add to the set. But I haven't done a bass set in like a good month, so I might bring the bass sets back to stream. Because I miss playing bass. There's something about bass guitar that just gets me so, like, I don't know. I just get really amped when I pick up a bass guitar and just play, like, I don't know, Rise Against or MXPX. It's just fun stuff.
Right. So when you did play the bass, were you a pick player, finger player, or were you a slap player?
Oh no. I hate Flea. No, I'm just kidding. Flea's cool. Flea's cool. I'm just not a fan of slap. Finger, not a fan. I'm a fan of pick that every other bass player does not like, which is picking. Like I said, I grew up on, you know, Mark Hoppus. I grew up on Chris number two from Anti-Flag. I grew up on Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy. You know, and they all use picks.
Right.
So I just love the way I just love the sound of a pick bass with like a heavy treble on like an SVT Pro. I just love that tone. I don't know. I just love that punchiness of just a like a pick bass on some like heavy strings on like a D note. I love that so much. I can listen to that every day, you know?
Totally.
I think that's why I like Alkaline Trio so much.
So playing in Alaska with extreme temperatures that you experience, do you find your instruments go out of tune fairly fast, or is it not noticeable?
Living in Alaska, you do deal with, you know, negative 10 degrees, negative 20 sometimes. Where I do this stuff is in a basement. Well, I guess, yeah, the basement of my house. So yes, I do have to turn the heat on when I leave. You do notice a difference when you don't turn the heat on downstairs and your guitars do tend to get out of tune. And they tend to, get really screwed up when it comes to like tuning it. Sometimes I had like my acoustic is destroyed because I left it down here during one winter and it is untunable now. But yes, the temperatures do definitely take an effect on your guitars big time.
Is it hard to get certain things? Like, I know that I'm always hearing about supply issues in Alaska. Like, when you need extra strings or when you need pickups or anything random like that, is there like a hiccup in supply, or do you just have no problems whatsoever?
No, there's not really a hiccup in supply, you know. We have three good stores here. The typical, your local shop, which is Mammoth Music. You have your high end store, which is like Guitar Center. And then you have like your super underground, which is like Peter's Violin. But it's weird, you know. It's weird. The older I get, the more I don't like being in public. I don't know if that's just me, but like I prefer
talking. After you know what I mean? Like, I don't like being in public either.
Yeah, you know, I just don't like going to, I used to love, you know, going to the mall and shit, but now it's just like, I'm not a fan of like going to stores anymore because like everything you can get anything you want on the internet. And it all, like, the only downside about being in Alaska is you have to wait an extra 4 days for it.
Right.
But yeah, like online shopping has kind of taken over my life when it comes to that. So when it comes to like music stores, I don't go there if I'm like really bored and I just want to like see if there's like a guitar that's there, even though I know for a fact it's not going to be there. So supply isn't really that hard to get. I usually 10 times out of 10, I just kind of like 9 times out of 10. That's the thing you got to say. All right, I'm an idiot.
No, you're good.
Like just ordering from like Sweetwater. Sweetwater Music is a place that I order everything from, and it gets here within a day or two. So I really don't have any problems with supply over here, up here in Alaska, except like Chick-fil-A sauce. Yeah,
Wait,
that's pretty much it.
Waiting on a back order of like Jesus chicken sauce from Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I am actually.
So what state are you originally from?
So being in a military
for work, right? Through the military, Air Force.
Yeah. Being in a military family, you kind of move a lot. So you kind of, when it comes to your hometown, if you're a military kid, is, where did you live the longest? Like what area did you live the longest at?
What was your favorite?
Oh, that, I love that. My favorite out of everything. Let's see. I grew up in Alaska, and then I also grew up in Frederick, Maryland. And I'm going to go with Frederick, Maryland. I grew up in Frederick, Maryland from 2004 until 2015.
Right. I saw the Maryland flag, and I just assumed you were from, like, Baltimore or something.
Oh, you know, yeah. My like that's where I grew up and found like myself when it comes to like my set of friends, my music, my musical like part, and all that, you know. So
I'm in Baltimore.
Oh my God, yes, it was insane. Every like it was a big metal scene over where we were at in the Mount Airy scene, you know. You had like these crazy bands like Texas in July would come by, and you know, and Alcatraz 1962, and everybody wanted to start a metalcore band, and you know, and we would play in bands with all of our friends, and it was crazy, you know. All the friends that we grew up with down the street are now like some of them made it out and are doing it. You know, you got Lance Donati from Sharptooth, you got Andy Sizek, who was in Monuments now, and Macari. Then you got Chris Davis, who's in Ghost Inside. You know, these are all homies from the street that used to like just hang out and just play shows like every Saturday, Sunday, Friday over at the Fire Hall.
And now they're
Yeah, Andy just got off a tour with Macari, and he's absolutely crushing the music scene right now. Chris just got off a Riot Fest, you know? It's crazy to see these guys and how they evolved and how they grew in their music. It's insane, and I couldn't be prouder of them, and I couldn't be prouder of the scene that we grew up in. So the Maryland scene was huge when it came to metal and stuff. But the biggest thing about Baltimore that I love the most is Baltimore hardcore. You know, you got bands like Stout, Trapped Under Ice, Turnstile, Queensway. Like I can go on about the metal scene. I can go even further about the hardcore scene in Baltimore. The hardcore scene in Baltimore is insane. It's absolutely crazy, and it's just, I don't know. Like,
it has a special place in your heart.
Oh my God, dude! Yes, like these bands, like Turnstile with their latest with Glow coming out. Like it's taking over the world. And so did Trapped Under Ice when they released Big Kiss Goodnight. It's been. I don't know. When I think of Baltimore, I think of Turnstile and TUI, and I couldn't be happier and more proud to be from Maryland because of the bands like that kind of like blew up huge that way.
Right.
And all through DIY, do it yourself, which is why I love it. And here I am. I'm on a tangent now about music.
That's totally fine. That's what we're going for. Which brings me to my next question. What was your favorite mosh pit injury or the worst mosh pit injury you sustained?
My worst mosh pit injury is I was in Japan and I was 24 I was seeing a band. They do. I went a little too hard, and it was during we were at a hardcore festival. It was called Blood Axe. And my favorite band at the time that was playing that fest was a band called Incendiary from New York. And they came over to Japan to play a set, and they played one of my songs that I love so much that I went in the pit and I was two-stepping, and then it went to the beatdown part, and right when the beatdown part came on, I noticed that my shoelaces were out, so I went to get my shoelaces and pick them up, and I got kicked in the face by some girl, and yeah, I had a bloody nose.
Buttons on or something?
No. It was just a beatdown, and she didn't even see me. You know, she just roundhouse kicked me in the face.
I think she saw you. I'm gonna Power Ranger this guy right here. He's tied his shoe.
I got knocked. Like I got knocked hard, and I fell back, and I just remember a big blinding light. Next thing I know, I'm trying to get myself up. I'm dizzy. I'm bleeding. I got a big lip, and and my homies pick me up and they take me to the other side of the pit. And they're like, "You good?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm straight. I'm straight." And they're like, "Dude, you're bleeding." I'm like, "Really?" And they're like, "Yeah, dude, my girlfriend kicked you." And I'm like, "Oh, dude, hell yeah." And they're like, "You're not mad?" I'm like, "No, that's awesome." So we all hung out that night. We all got really drunk, and that was like the hardest injury I ever got. I got kicked by my friend's girlfriend at an Incendiary set. Like, she kicked the crap out of me, and she was so bummed about it. She was like really, really upset. She was she kept hugging me and telling me like I'm sorry. I'm like, no, you're good. It's all right. You didn't know. It's fine. It was my fault for like not getting out of the pit to tie my shoe. You know, in a sense, it was my fault for not getting out.
Right. Like, so, you made yourself very vulnerable for going
100% during a beat. Here's the beat down, and then oh, look, my shoe's untied, and I go then I got knocked. So it's my fault.
You
it's
literally
so I wasn't
the
mad.
Worst possible time to do that.
Right? I know. I just didn't want to, you know.
The only thing I can think of that compares is one time I was at a TSOL show and some lemonade vendor at a Warped Tour tried to sell lemonade in the middle of the mosh pit and he got destroyed. I was like, why would you
that
do
guy,
this now?
That guy has balls, man. That's crazy.
I don't think he knew what was happening.
I don't think he, no. I don't think he knew either.
Tricolor lemonade fucking everywhere.
My God. Just goes in the middle and sells it.
Right, it's insane. So,
yeah.
What is your favorite amp? Like, there's a lot of different varieties out there. What type do you use, and what type do you like?
It changes. After my deployment in guitar, I wanted to try clean amps, which is just like a clean sound. And then I wanted to see if you can manipulate that sound and create distortion tones through pedals. So I wanted to try pedal amps. So I wanted a clean amp. And when I got the clean amp, I was like, oh, this clean amp's sick. And I'm like trying to do all this cool stuff with this clean amp. And I'm trying to get all these distortion pedals. And I'm like, nothing sounds good. Like I'm trying to get that great distortion tone of like a high gain amp, but just in a pedal. And I went through this giant rabbit hole of buying pedals and pedals to match this distortion tone. And I couldn't get it. And then it made me realize, like, this voice in my head was like, wait, so you're trying to get a distortion tone of, like, a high-gain amp but with a pedal? And the voice in my head was like, you're an idiot. Just get a high-gain amp. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. So it went from a clean amp, and then which was a Fender Twin Reverb. I loved that for a minute because I was playing in bar bands over here in Alaska just to pass the time. And then I got into Marshall amps, which is just like a JCM 900, which is what – you know, a lot of the pop punk bands used in the late 90s, early 2000s, like Tom used one, Billy Joe used one, Newfound Glory, MXPX, they all used this amp. It just broke a lot. So they're known for breaking a lot. So I don't really use it that much. So I needed an amp that was like kind of like a tank, which brought me to,
that
isn't hard to order parts for and isn't like, you don't need a crazy handbook to repair it. You just need to... It's already fixed. It can handle anything. So that's what got me into EVH 5150s. Because I've had many high gain amps. I had my first high gain amp was a PV6505, and then when I was in Japan, I had a 5150 block letter from PV, and then I bought a EVH 5153 100 watt, which is a big boy, and then I got the white one. And then I went back to the black one, which is the one I have now, the 5150 Stealth. That was actually purchased by Twitch, not the company. But when I started streaming, I was using plugins, and I was like, I kind of want to incorporate real amps in streams. And so I just put like a sub goal and a dono goal. And that, dude, I shit you not, this is insane. This, I had a dono goal and a sub goal for a new amp. And every time I started streaming, people were asking me like, well, so what's the amp for? And I told this story on why. And after I told that story, I had my new amp within 2 weeks.
That's impressive.
It freaked me out, you know?
Ballpark, how much did that amp cost?
$1,450.
That's not a cheap price. That's an expensive.
It's not. So like the people that donate and sub to me and shit, I feel like they're in the mob. Like I feel like I have to like kill somebody? Do I have to do something now for them? Like I get really scared when people like, oh my god, there's this one time. Oh my god, this is another weird thing. I was doing a regular stream one night, just chilling, playing music. And this one guy was like, hey, do you know any 311? And I was like, I can try. And I just played Amber, chilling. And then this man was like, all right, dude, that was, you tried. Do you know any Event Sevenfold? I was like, I'm not a fan of A7X, but I'll try it. And I tried it, right? And I did it. And he was like, that was cool. thank you. And then I got a $3,000 donation.
Oh my
from this
God.
Guy.
Is that now? How you got Paul?
Yeah.
That's insane.
This guy. But the thing is, I played two songs and he donated $3,000. So my homies that were in the stream, my wife was like, I think it's like a scam where like you have to accept his donation, then he gets in your bank account. And I was like, what? That's scary. I'm scared of this. And then for some reason, this guy's full name, which I won't disclose, was attached to the donation.
What's his name? And Haas00031.
Imagine, right? No. It was a different name. But I look up this name on the internet, and there's two articles on this name. Both of these articles say, local man wins $180 billion lottery.
Jesus Christ. What do you even do with that much money? I guess give it to Twitch streamers.
And I was like, okay, this guy won the lottery. So I messaged him because I found his real name. And I'm like, hey, I want to thank you for that. That was really generous. And he was like, no, man, it's cool. I just own a couple bars. Like, hey, if you're ever into playing like, you know, music at live venues, like I would fly you down.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah. So he said, yeah, man, how about next summer? I could fly you down to San Jose and I can get you a couple shows here. I'll pay for your stay. And I was like, that'd be sick. And he was like, all right, man, here, have this for your trouble. He gave me another $500 just for messaging him.
That's insane.
And I asked, why do you do this? He goes, honestly, man, I like giving back to people. And sometimes when I make donations, I'm pretty drunk. So it's all good. And every time he comes in, I have to make sure I had to tell my mods whenever, like, hey, man, if we ever get the donation from this guy, you have to delete the notification in chat. Because if other people are in chat and they see like a donation, like a high level donation or a high level gift sub, I've learned that like if people see that, sometimes they'll add that person and they'll be like, hey, man, you should come to my stream. And they'll try to like, you know, like leech.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of sad. You know what I mean?
That is kind of scummy.
Yeah. I'm not trying to like no, this is my guy. Like he's but no, it's not like that. It's a sense of like, you know, like protecting him so he doesn't get hit up by other people that like, hey, you should come to my stream, hey, you should give me subs. It's sad to me, you know what I mean?
It's funny you bring up San Jose because I'm located 20 minutes from San Jose. It's a small
world. Oh really? Yeah.
Small world.
Yeah, it's small world. Yeah, he owns like three bars over there. Because he's like an investor or something over there now. Yeah, he wants me to come down there and just play at his bars. He's a good guy. But yeah, man, that's another reason why I can't do sub goals on my stream.
Right, because you'll hit very quickly.
That's why I don't like mention like, oh, we have this train. Oh, we have this. It's just like I the one thing I don't want to ever put out when it comes to streaming is like, pay me, you know,
right.
It's not about the pay me. It's about the, let's just hang out, play some songs.
I was going to say,
you know,
I've watched a lot of your streams and I've never, ever seen you ask for anything other than song requests for you to play. And you just kind of banter with the audience. Like you'll adjust the dog cam per certain request. And yeah, I've never, because some streamers do that and I've never seen you do that.
Yeah, the whole like, hey, we're almost at this, we can do a giveaway, we're almost here, you know, oh my gosh, hey, we're almost at our monthly goal, we're almost at our like daily goal.
Like, I've never seen you take off your guitar and say, I get $200 an hour, the show's over, you know, I've never seen
that. Yeah, you know, like, the streamers that do that, that's cool, they can do it if they want, but for me, like, the last thing I want you guys, anybody to do is to pay a premium price just to get, like, a hangout. Like, I just find that kind of weird. So I always make that known every time, as no one ever has to pay for anything here. It's always just, we're all just hanging out, you know, it's just like a regular, like just like a local show where you just hang out with your friend band and you're best friends with that band. So you'll just be like, hey man, you suck. But in reality, you know, you don't actually think that they suck, you know, they're just like your best friend's band. So you're just saying that to be funny. You know, that's why I have that suck sign. Right. It's just, you know, it's that little humor you have with your homies where it's like, nah, he sucks, but deep down you don't mean it. It's a form of love,
so
in a sense, if that makes sense.
So getting into your channel point rewards, what is your favorite one that people pull up? Is it the rock? Is it the crowd? Is it the skateboardings? Is it the dancing spaceman? Like, there's a lot of things going on.
Oh my gosh. That thing took me and Neil months to perfect. But my favorite one
set up than the actual stream, like,
yeah, just putting up those triggers, it was the hardest thing in the world. We didn't know how to do it. We talked to so many streamers, like, you just copy and paste, like, what do you mean? So we took us months to get that thing done. We didn't have any type of like trigger rewards. We started to add it in May, and we didn't get anything in there until maybe August, because we just didn't know how to do it. But out of all of them since, my favorite one would have to be the stage dive of that one stuntman just jumping.
Oh, and the explosion.
That's my favorite.
That one.
Yeah. But I'm trying my hardest. I gotta find time to pull up my. I have a green screen in the back. And I'm trying my hardest to just like put the green screen up and just record me like two-stepping like across the screen. So that way it's like, if someone like does like there's like a hardcore song playing and they just do this redeem, it'll just show like me in a panda suit two-stepping across the stream. Like, I'm just trying to incorporate more of that, or like put the green screen up and then put on a green suit and just like pick up my dog. Looks like my dog's flying. Like, I'm trying to do so many of them, but like my favorite one has to be the stuntman stage diving, because he just looks so dramatic. You know what I mean? It's that, and then it's the Sims crowd is cool, and the sack tap, which is the Mortal Kombat kicking the nuds. That's my favorite one too. But above all, it's got to be the stuntman doing the stage dive explosion.
Right,
big time.
It adds a lot to the show, and there's just so many to choose from. I know going in there, it's like, which one do I pick? He's like.
There's a lot.
And then I don't want to pick one too soon, because I don't want to cut off the animation of somebody else that just put theirs in. It's just like, let it go. Give it a few seconds. So,
it's a headache for the mons. They're like, sometimes they crash, dude.
Yeah. Because you have a lot of people in your stream. Like, you're on the verge of partner. I know you've already applied. Has Twitch got back to you? Are you like, nah, did they finally let you in? Or what's the word on
that? I got my first denial letter last week, and I think it's because of the things I say about Twitch. I say really bad shit. I don't mean it. All right. When somebody subs me to, okay, look, if somebody ever gives me a sub prime, I'm not going to say thank you for the prime sub. Jeff Bezos can suck my balls. I'm sorry. All right. I won't say that again.
I'm sure Jeff Bezos is listening and he's very upset.
No, because like I remember there was a show that happened a long, long time ago where it was Blink's first comeback show. It was May 29th, 2009 at the T-Mobile release party. And Blink played like a 3-song set, and Tom was drunk as hell, right?
Right.
And Tom had a deal. Tom had a endorsement from AT&T. He didn't tell AT&T that Blink was doing a reunion at a T-Mobile release party.
Oh.
Because because nobody knew. Nobody knew there was this. Nobody knew there was a reunion. It was just them they were there supporting Travis, because Travis was doing a set with DJ AM, because it was a DJ AM Travis Barker set at there. But Travis was like, hey, my drums are here. Let's just bring your guitars, and then we'll just do like 3 songs. We won't tell anybody except like the guy running the show. And they're like, all right, whatever. So they were doing it. They started the show, and they played rock show, and Tom was drunk. Tom was just talking about in between songs, Tom would say the most fucked up shit. Tom, like, after the rock show, Tom would say, I know why you guys are all here, and I know why you guys are all seeing this band on stage, and I know the first thought in your head when you see the three of us on stage is, who here has not jacked off to Lord of the Rings? And that was the greatest thing in the world. And then after another song, Mark was like, we want to thank T-Mobile for having us tonight. And Tom, who was endorsed by AT&T, just said, AT&T could suck my dick.
Oh.
And he just said that. She just said that so loud.
That'll do it.
And the thing is, AT&T still had him on for the rest of that year. I'm sorry. I get really, when it comes to like Blink history and Blink moments, I know every single thing possible. But
apparently he didn't offend Lily from AT&T that bad with those statements.
I don't think he did. I don't think he did. So I took that and I take these little tiny like quotes that Tom or Mark or Travis would use, and I would incorporate that in my show, but in like a certain different type of demographic. So whenever someone prime sub, I would say that. I wouldn't mean it, but now I kind of regret saying it because I feel like, maybe they looked at a VOD and it's
they got a little like the 5 seconds that they watched. He's like, Twitch can suck my dick or something like that. Like, oh my God.
If it's suck my balls. But that's what happened and it's fine.
Into it, how do you sponsor a rock star, especially with a guy with a song like Family Reunion, and you don't expect something like that to come
out? I play that every time someone requests like Freebird. I'm like, oh, you want Freebird? Here's Freebird. And you just hear shit, piss, fuck, come talk, someone shit, fart, turd, and twat. And they're like, what is this? This isn't what I asked for. I'm like, yeah, I don't play Freebird. The stream title literally says, this is the songs I play. I don't think Freebird falls in that category
at all.
So, get out of here. Anyways, I didn't kick him out. I don't kick him out. They leave if they want. Or Tack usually bans him because Tack's bored and he's funny about it. But when it comes to the partner thing, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. It doesn't really change anything, you know. I'm just, you know, I still have my name, which is what I love. I still have all my friends that hang out at the shows. That's what I love. The only thing that would change, I would just get a little check mark to boost my little ego, as you say. there's really no positives and no negatives to being a partner or not being a partner on Twitch. You know, you still get your homies there regardless. So it's fine. And you know, it's been weird having more and more people show up to the shows. I love how I'm saying it like it's like I'm on like it's like real shows, you know what I mean?
Well, they kind of are. I mean,
more and more people are coming to the shows.
You're going for multiple hours. You kind of have a set list. I mean, you have multiple people like, you know, requesting stuff. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of moving parts. And
the
fact that it doesn't all fall apart, because I know if I was in charge of something like that, everything that could go wrong would. And I haven't seen any. I haven't even seen too many catastrophic failures, except for Dog Cam. Dog Cam, for some reason, derails things a little bit.
The dogs derail everything. They just come in. I can't. If they like, I have to. If I don't shut the door, they're gonna come in and just lay on something. And I have to. I sometimes step on tails or I step on paws. So I like when they come in, just standing there. When they leave and I close the door, I can move around and do crazy shit.
How many animals do you have in that space? Because I've seen like 2 or 3 dogs and at least one cat that's usually hiding.
I have 3 animals. I have 2 dogs and a cat. If people were checking out the stream recently, there was a golden there. The golden retriever, that's Khaleesi. That's a dog we kind of just like dox it every now and then when her family kind of like goes off for like a couple of days. So she's always here with us whenever she needs to be dog set. We just love that dog. But the people that are here, the dogs and the cat that are here is just 2 dogs, a chocolate lab and a border collie and a cat. And that's pretty much the kids of the family.
Right.
Luna, Franklin, and Breezy. Yeah. And they're always in here. The cat's usually right in front of me on my desk. So you guys never really see the cat because she's just laying in front of me on the desk. But the dogs usually are under the desk or on the couch passed out while I'm streaming every time.
Totally. So has anyone from your unit in the military seen your stream?
I get a lot of people watching the stream now, and they're watching it because they're trying to learn. I had a guy who has been my best buddy since basic training. We've been homies, and he's climbing ranks and he's doing his thing. And he's like, yo, why aren't you doing these like volunteer shifts, man? Don't you want that extra pay? Like, don't you want to make more? And I'm like, no, man, I'm good. I'm having fun, you know, doing this and doing other things and streaming. And he was like, what are you talking about? You like play like video games? Like, what are you doing? He goes, no, I play music again. He was like, let me hop in. And he hops in and he was like, yeah, don't volunteer. You're killing it. This, I could tell you, I could tell you're happy. How do I do this? And he was like, oh man, you just gotta, you know, get into it. You know, like, you gotta, you know, just be happy. Do what you want. Just do what you like doing and just put a camera up and, you know, you'll get people liking it.
Exactly.
And he tried it. Yeah. And now he's doing it and he's getting his friends. He's getting a lot of his friends over in his streams now. And he's like, yo man, since you showed me about streaming, like I'm in love with it now too. It's just like, I don't know. There's something about it. Huh?
Does he also play the guitar?
No. I'm the only guitar player musician in our little military hang group.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm the only one that does that. When we would hang out in the dorms, I would bring an acoustic and we would just drink and I would like just play songs while they would just be getting drunk and talking about how much they missed their girlfriend. That kind of shit. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And then do you also, like, I know you play computer games. Like, I've heard you talk about COD and other games. Do you ever stream that or is it strictly music on your stream?
At first it was games. My first stream ever was on October 31st and I was playing Red Dead. And I realized that me playing video games is boring as hell because I don't talk. I just stare because I just get wrapped up into it.
Right.
So, yeah. So I used to do. Yeah. I used to, when I do game streams, I would do game streams on Sundays. I would call it Sunday Scaries. I would just like sit around and just play titles that bring nostalgia, which is like Destroy All Humans or Stubbs or Halo 2 and just like kick it. But after a while, I realized that I have more fun playing games off stream because, I don't know, I feel like I'm not good enough to be streaming video games. Like, the people that stream, like, COD and the people that stream gaming, those people are freaking awesome at Twitch. I could never stream a video game. I can't do that. The people that stream games, those guys are pros. Like, if you can play a video game on Twitch and engage with the chat, you are far better than I'll ever be at this platform. I could never do that. It's hard as hell to do that.
It's funny you put it like that because I feel the same way about people who do what you do with music. Like, to one, be able to play, two, be able to interact with the crowd, and three, be able to sing while you're playing. That's something that is just so difficult and nuanced. I don't think people really realize how hard it is that I've never picked up an instrument. It is very difficult.
But if you compare that to a guy trying to snipe from 200 meters away while also using his other eye to look at chat to say like, oh, thank you for the 5 gifted, at the same time trying to find this other guy in this blue house while also saying comms, ping him, far right.
While also drinking
G Fuel.
He's on me.
While also making a G Fuel comment to get his discount code out there. That is hard. What's insane. Up?
Do you do any other social medias? Like, do you do TikTok? Do you do YouTube? Do you anything like that?
TikTok is the weirdest platform I've ever seen in my entire life. I've never felt more like a boomer than I am when I'm on TikTok.
Yeah.
I feel like a boomer on that. I literally just post clips from my sets, but then for some reason if I go on TikTok to upload my stuff as it's uploading, random TikToks will pop up on my timeline and it's just like I don't know, couples like doing these like staged events, but it acts like it's like a surprise.
Oh, like gender,
you got like
things like that.
Yeah, no, like scaring my girlfriend, but like she's in on it. You could tell, and it's just like not funny. Or you got like these people that do the dances, and you got these other people that I don't know. TikTok to me is just, it's horribly staged content, in my opinion.
Right. Well, there's
that's me.
Comedy skits. Like, in a real world scenario, if you scared somebody, they'd probably kick them in the face, just like what happened to you at that show.
Yes. That's what if TikTok had that, I would be down. But I have Twitter for that. Twitter is my favorite because Twitter is the most like unhinged. It's you can't tame that shit. It's literally you don't know if you're gonna scroll down and see porn or scroll down and see a link to somebody's stream.
Pretty much, it's kind of the Wild West. You don't know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, Yeah, Twitter is pretty. I'm like scrolling through Twitter. My wife's like, what did you just look at? I'm like, I don't know. Okay. I don't know what I'm looking at anymore, but I like this place.
One of my friends liked this. I swear, I don't like this. It just happened to pop up as you walked by.
Sometimes I favorite the most outlandish shit so my friends would just see it and get and just text me like, yo, why did you like this? Like, why are you part of this furry community?
Why did you tag me in this?
I love that shit, man. It's amazing stuff.
Why did you tag me and my NCO in this?
That's what I get. I get that. Yeah, but morally, it's honestly just Twitter. Instagram, I got a lot of flack for catfishes on Instagram, so it's just Twitter from now on.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So when it comes to setting up all your stuff, what is something you would recommend for the new streamer, the new music streamer who's just starting to set up their stuff? What would be your biggest point of emphasis? What would be the biggest helping hint you could give?
Don't be afraid to spend money. It's like getting your stream set up is going to cost you. And don't be afraid. It's gonna suck, but you gotta do it. When it comes to doing music streams, you gotta have the correct stuff, which is like you're gonna need all this. You're gonna need a good mic. You're gonna need a good interface. You're gonna need you're gonna need everything for music. So you're gonna need a good music production computer, so more than likely you're going to be on a Mac. You're going to need a good interface, so more than likely it's going to be a Scarlett or a Universal Audio. You're going to need a mic, so it's going to be hopefully an SM7B. And then if you're doing music like big time with like guitars and stuff and plugins, you're going to need to buy vocal plugins. You're going to need to buy guitar plugins. It's music is an expensive process to get into, but once you're into it, it pays for itself. So what I would say to a new streamer doing music streams would be honestly like do not be afraid to skip that step and get that SM7B, to get that pro audio interface, because I'm telling you, if you really want to do it, just jump in. Does that make sense? See, I'm doing this thing where I tend to not understand what I'm saying.
Oh no, you're totally hitting it. Like, I know you might not feel that way, but you're covering a lot of bases. It's actually super helpful for somebody because that's probably the biggest plunge in your area of streaming. Like, I personally don't do music streams, but if I was going to, that would be something I would be hesitant about. So that's good that you're setting an expectation, you know, up front. Like, hey, it's going to be worth it, but there's a price to play.
It's a big price, you know. When it comes to, if you want to be a streamer and just like you want a game stream, all you need is like maybe like a C920 webcam mic, a headset, a capture card, you're good.
Pretty much.
You're good. Pretty much. Music streams, you need interface, you need this, and this, plugins, instruments. Because you can't really do music streams if you're gonna use vocals with a headset, because that headset can't do shit for you. But you need an actual vocal mic with an actual interface with plugins to help your vocals kind of like push out.
What do you mean? I can't just play a kazoo into a mic and be successful?
See what I mean? Yeah, like that's so, yeah, so that's another reason why I wanted to do these like music streams. I would see music streamers, you know, what they would hear is like really, really good, but they were using like their camera mic to record everything. And I'm like, no, like they don't hear that. They don't. And I want to see if I can do this to help other people out. It's just, yeah, music streams, you really got to like read about it and learn how to really do it to like get into it. So if you're getting into music streams, like there's no dipping your toes. You got to jump in and really get in it.
Have you created
to really master this shit?
Any YouTube videos on like how to set some of this equipment up, or was there any YouTubes that you watched to learn how to set up any of your equipment to like fit the specs that you were looking for, or did you just know how to do it based off of prior knowledge?
Not one. There was not one YouTube video on how to have virtual devices. I got lucky. I started music streaming Right when this application dropped. It's called Loopback, and it's basically like a mixer inside your computer. It's just a mixer inside of a mixer, so you can like level out your guitars, you're going to level out your interface, you're going to level out your music, all in this app, and it pushes out this equal leveled mix for your stream. And a lot of people on PC use, what is it, Banana? What's that? What's that called? Banana something?
Something like
Sound that. Banana?
I've heard of this. I've never used it, but that sounds familiar. Oh.
XLR Go or something like that. They use these big mixers, but this one's inside. It's a program inside Mac OS that you could use. And that came out right when I started streaming, so it saved my life. But when it came to YouTube tutorials on it, there wasn't a lot that you could really use for music streaming, because everybody's setup is totally different. Everybody does different types of music streams where they would use their DAWs on everything. They would use like a guitar track, a vocal track, a backing track, and a click all on one DAW. For me, the only thing I use on my DAW is just a compressed vocal, and my guitar is coming out of an amplifier in my room.
Right.
And I just have that mic'd up basically through an IR. That's through a different application to control volume. And it's just the more, you know what, the fact that I just explained that was weird, because I'm like, I don't understand audio, but look at me now. I'm actually talking about it.
See, it's one of those,
oh my God, I'm weird.
Where when you try to like write this stuff down, or you try to do like a video, it's not as easy. But when you're talking to somebody and you're trying to explain it, it's somehow more fluid. It somehow comes across easier to, you know, conversate. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, honestly, a big help would actually be YouTube. If I could find it, it was the biggest help. You know, because like, you know, when it comes to streaming, you're spending a lot of money on stuff. So you want to actually see if it works. You want to see reviews on it. So Alpha Gaming helped me a lot. Elgato helped me a lot. Those videos helped me a lot when it came to like the things I needed for it. Like when it came to like docs or audio docs or just all that stuff, or in chairs. YouTube was always the first thing I would go to. And then if I had questions about it, like stupid questions, I will go right to Reddit, and I'm okay with getting trolled with my questions. I'm all
right
with it.
Right.
I'm like, cause they're going to answer my question, but they're going to troll me at the same time. And I'm okay with it. Troll me. I messed up. I know I bought it without researching. Just go ahead and troll me. But Reddit's, where does this go?
Where you get burned at least 5 or 6 times before you get what you're looking for.
100%, you know, 100%, 100%. Like it's like, oh, look at my OS. Like, hey, where does this go on this computer, on this laptop? And they're like, you're an idiot. It goes here. I'm like, thank you. And everybody else is like, yeah, dumbass. And it's like, I know. All right, it won't happen again. Well, you said that last time with your other Mac. And I'm like, all right, leave me alone.
It's just following all your posts, looking for you to make a mistake so we can bring it up.
They always do.
Good old Red.
I'm a part of, yeah, Tom DeLonge Guitars. They still give me shit about the Jim Root thing. Whatever, it's fine.
That's so funny. So I know that we talked about how you got into this because you wanted to record your own music, or you just wanted to record yourself playing. Do you write your own music? Do you have your own songs? Or
I did. Dude, I was hitting the ground running. I had sessions booked. The band had all these different sessions, and I was going to record vocals here, send it to the guy, and the engineer would put it into the track. But once I got a camera, I haven't picked it up at all, dude. Streaming was not supposed to happen.
Streaming took over everything, is what you're saying.
It was not, yeah. It just like, I had these songs written. I had a bunch of songs, and they were all recording. Like, I still have the sessions up. Like, there's a song, there's 3 songs I recorded last year. It's been a year since we, like, they're still being mixed. I still haven't responded back with my notes. Because streaming has taken over.
Have you played it's any insane. Of those songs on stream?
No.
Why not?
People don't want, people want to, the way I see it, the people that hang out in the stream, they want to lurk to the jams of their past. They don't want to lurk the songs that they don't know.
True. I could see and, that. But have you considered maybe putting that in your song queue? Maybe somebody would request it.
Oh, I do. And they request it, and I always delete it. Because it's like, you guys aren't ready for this yet. No one's ready for it, because I'm not ready for it, because I haven't practiced it. I'm too busy practicing Meant to Live by Switchfoot. It's just, people do request it, and I play it, but I play it with an annoyed face because I know nobody here knows it, and I know they just want to see the original stuff I have. But I know why you guys are here. You know, you guys want all the small things, and I'm going to give it to you because I like playing it. But if you guys want, Miss Tacy that I wrote when I was 18, here it is too. But if I had a choice to play all the small things or Miss Tacy, it's all the small things because I want to create an environment for everybody to be like, oh hell yeah, this song's rad. But at the same time, to be like, oh, I've never heard this song. It sounds pretty good. It's cool. But I'd rather have that ecstatic feeling of like, oh my god, I love this song. You know what I mean?
No, I get that. I totally get that. But I know from personally watching your streams and enjoying it that I would love to hear some of your stuff. So if you threw one every now and again, yeah, I don't think that would be a bad thing. I think that would actually be pretty cool.
I appreciate that. I'll remember that when I play a 10-minute song I wrote and it's 100% instrumental. And yeah, then you're gonna love that. Yeah, see, now you're second-guessing it. Yeah.
No, I'm not second-guessing it at all.
I shouldn't have fucking said that. Oh, my God. Son.
It's like, I listen to Dream Theater sometimes. I can put up with 10 minutes.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I couldn't write a song for 10 minutes. Nope. No. But, all right, I mean, we've tried doing an original set. You know, I'm trying to incorporate less songs. And, like, I'm trying to do a thing where I can just get my acoustic down here and just, like, you know, kind of like use my room mic and just like play like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, you want to have an acoustic session like Nirvana?
Yes.
That would be sick.
Yes. Without the cardigan. But yes.
What are you talking about? You got to wear two cardigans.
Oh my God. Yeah, but I always wanted to try an unplug thing. I'm just nervous about it because I don't want to, I don't know. I tend to do medleys of like a 15-minute song, but of like five different songs in one because it's all in the same key.
That's the beauty of doing an unplugged thing is if you're not feeling it, you can just pick up your electric and just be like, all right, that was cool. Let's go to this.
That was cool. Oh, yeah, let's do this now. Let's do that. Yeah. I mean, I've done that once or twice. Like there's one time I was playing. All right, you guys want an original acoustic. I picked up original acoustic, right? And I'm like 10 seconds into it, and I got a raid from my friend Spooky of like 1,800 people.
Oh, Jesus.
So I was like, oh, shit. Well, this song's called Fat Lip. I'm not playing my song now.
There you go.
Because the way I see it when it comes to like these raids, you know, when someone – this is actually a good point I wanted to make to other streamers is that when you get raids, it's – I see raids – if I could really compare raids to anything in music sense, that would make sense to me. It would be like Warped Tour. So the way I would see that is like you're at Warped Tour, you got 30 minutes to either impress this random crowd that's waiting for a band that's before you or after you or some shit. So you got to win them over. So you got to pick the set that's the best that will win these guys over. So when you get a raid, you got like 20 seconds to keep them there or not, or they're going to go to the next streamer.
Right.
Because so
unlike Warped Tour, there's literally thousands of stages.
There's thousands, kind of like Twitch. You know what I mean? Oh, this sucks. I'm going to the next stage across the way, you know?
Right.
Fuck this. I'm getting a corn dog. So like, I treat it like that. So whenever you get a raid of like a crazy amount of people, I go right to like the biggest hits that I know, which is like, you know, like I'll play Jimmy Eat World into Sugar We're Going Down into Check Yes Juliet, the Kings into Dear Maria by All Time Low. These are like big hits on radio in that genre that everybody would know immediately.
Proven bangers that'll keep them there.
Proven bangers that'll keep them there and keep them to come back to the next set and the next show. And that's what I love to do. And I love that. I love when I see other streamers when they get raided, they have this thing where it's like, all right, I got raided. Time to prove myself to show these new people that I'm worth their time.
But what if a weird Skinner like cover band raids you and they legitimately want Freebird?
They legitimately want Freebird. I'm gonna play them Family Reunion.
There you go.
I'll never, ever, ever back down from that.
You're non-compromising. I respect that.
No, I will say this is Freebird, and then I will do shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker. I will do that. I will do it, and I'll do it with a smile on my face. And they will stay because they'll realize this guy's a punker. This guy is all about jokes. I'm here for the banter. I'm not here for the shitty pop punk songs about girls in high school. I'm here to see this guy talk shit, and I'm into it.
There you go. So what is
my favorite thing in the world?
What is your favorite song to play on stream?
Oh! It changes.
Currently, what's your current favorite song to play on stream?
Currently, I mean, it was Hellsong. Now it is. Now it's a tie between Paranoia by A Day to Remember and All My Life by the Foo Fighters.
Okay, interesting. And what is your favorite one to play on your current playlist on stream?
American Idiot.
Is there?
I fucking hate that song.
Why do you have it on your playlist? You hate it so much. Because Green Day.
People fucking love that song.
Yeah, I wasn't the biggest Green Day fan growing up.
Think I like playing Jet Lag every fucking night? No.
I'm going to request it every night now.
Oh, you were there for that?
Yeah, I was there for that. It was hilarious.
Oh, you were there for the $100 dono for Jet Lag 10 times in a row in 3 different languages?
Yes.
Oh, you were there? Okay, cool. Yeah, it's like that, you know? It's my two least favorites are Jet Lag and American Idiot. Yes.
So
it's not that American Idiot is a bad song. It's that American Idiot is requested so much awesome. That it's just like, doing being American Idiot. It's just not – I don't know, man. It's
overdosed on it.
I overdosed on it, and I cry with a happy face as I play it. I do it for the homies. I do it for the homies out there. Because I see in chat, like, yo, I love this song. And it's just like, all right, I got you. I'm going to power through it for you, buddy.
Yeah, you can't say I fucking hate that song to that one.
I never. Nope, I'm not. But you know what? I'm on this pod. I'm going to say right now, I hate that song, man. Don't ever request it again, Reaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you request it every time you come on stream. I'll play it.
He's smiling, but behind that mustache, he's dying inside a little bit.
Bite me, Reaper. I'll do it for you. I hate you. Yeah.
So, if you could have your dream concert with two openers and one headliner, what would that show be?
This is going to suck. No one's going to like this. It would be... Nothing Nowhere, Machine Gun Kelly.
Rap?
I like his new album.
Or Metal Machine Gun Kelly?
It's his new record. Tickets to My Downfall, Kelly, is the greatest thing that ever happened to music.
Okay, who's
not the not music in general, but in the genre that I like.
Okay.
The headline, so it'll be, two opening acts?
Yeah, two opening and one headliner.
Oh, it's Blink. So it's Nothing Nowhere, MGK, and Blink.
I was going to be shocked. I thought you were going MGK over Blink. I was like, my God, what happened?
No. I always got to talk about Kells every time I'm on stream or talking to somebody about music. Kells, I love Kells, you know, he talks a lot of shit. Well, that's just who he is, you know, he's a loose cannon, but
everyone
music wise, he's doing something for pop punk that hasn't been done since 2006. A lot of bands that talk shit on Kells, I mean, cool, whatever, you're talking shit, but at the same time, like, you're not, but like, you know, Kells is bringing a genre into mainstream radio again, you know, and that's what. You know, it's, you know, I haven't he's heard a pop punk song,
a genre that the last time I heard on the radio was probably brought by NoFX.
Exactly, you know what I mean? He's bringing back the genre in the pop radio again, and you haven't heard that in so long. To see a pop punk record, to see, like, you know, people in regular, like, People magazine and all these, like, TMZs using words like emo and goth girlfriend and all this shit. Obviously they're using this to describe Megan Fox and one of the Kardashians, which is whatever, but at the same time they're using these terms that are, you know, using that algorithm to bring these bands in, you know what I mean? So it's like, you got Kells, you got Jaden, Kenny Hoopla, you got Ian Dior, and all these, like, artists out there in the mainstream that are wearing Taking Back Sunday t-shirts and wearing Blink t-shirts in their videos
and using footage that hasn't been around since the 90s/early 2000s.
Exactly. So I can't, you can have these opinions on them as people, whatever, that's fine. But what they're doing in regards of mainstream radio and mainstream media and influencing people to listen to more of this type of music, it's not only it's helping me with Twitch. It's helping other artists like Jaden and Kenny Hoopla on tour. It's helping all of these artists in that genre kind of get more traction. So Kells is helping a lot of people in that genre. So I always got to give love to Kells and give love to Travis on making that album. And I always have to acknowledge the fact that, you know, he's got a weird brain. He says a lot of like sus shit, but at the same time, Downfall kind of saved a lot of bands on radio. So that's why I would put Kells on my dream show, because
do you think he will make a ska punk record?
No, I do not think Kells would ever make a ska punk record ever. I think Kells is going to make the next record Kells is making is going to be, I'm going to say Kells' next record is going to be an influence of Weezer and Sum 41. That's the next record I'm hearing from Kells right now, because his last radio hit was Paper Cuts, and it was a very reminiscent of like Nirvana and Weezer. If you listen to it, it's very weird, but yeah.
You heard it here first, folks. Tom DeLonge.
Oh my god!
With the Nostradamus prediction.
My ear is like, dude. I. When it comes to pop punk, it is my everything. I'm in this shit deep, and I never ever stop. I never stop with this shit when it comes to this music. It's everything to me. So,
what was your favorite concert you saw live?
Fuck.
That's a hard question. I know.
I'm realizing how old I am right now, because I'm like thinking like, what shows did I go to? it's been years. The best concert I've ever been to in my life. I don't know. Oh, was I there? Oh.
I mean, you don't know me. Show... I have no way of backtracking this. You can tell me literally anything.
Oh, I saw Jimi Hendrix at the Roxy in 2003. No, I'm just kidding. My favorite concert I've ever been to I'm a big Foo Fighters fan. They're one of the last real rock bands of all time. You know, if you really think about it, you know what I mean? When it comes to like rock and roll, like fuck it, we'll do it live type band.
Right.
They're the last ones to do it. So... Foo Fighters did a little tour in Alaska in August. In August, they never played Alaska ever in their career. So this was their first time ever. And I work mid, so I work from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. That's my job. So the Foo Fighters were coming. Yeah, hold on.
It's okay.
Is anything repeating, by the way?
No, not on my end.
All right, cool. So whenever my computer skips my vocal, I'm like, uh-oh, it's gonna start looping because of the application loopback. That's their only flaw.
You haven't been looping, but sometimes you get so excited it peaks. But that's the only.
Oh no, dude! Okay. I'm sorry.
No, don't worry about it. It's cool. I love the energy.
Oh, dude! I should probably change my bitrate then.
You're good.
So, I work 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. and. They were playing a show on this Tuesday, so I get off work Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. and I'm like trying to go to sleep, but I can't sleep. And 3 p.m. rolls around, and it's like doors open at 5. I'm like, shit, I can't sleep. Fuck it. So I go to this show, and I'm with my wife, and we're front row at the Foo Fighters, and I'm crying, dude. I'm crying for 2 hours. No, the show is 3 hours. 3 hours, man. And these guys are in their 50s, and I'm literally holding my wife. My wife is just hearing me crying and sobbing because I'm in front of Dave Grohl. So I'm crying my eyes out, singing every single Foo Fighter song I know, which is every single song they have. And then right after the show, my wife drives me to work that same night.
Oof. You must have been so tired.
I'm, Oh, dude, I was dead. I literally was like, I get to work. I pop into work in my regular clothes, and they're like, "Hey, you're early." I'm like, yeah, totally." And I get into my uniform, and I just sit, and I'm just like, five more hours left, did four more hours left, and then
out? Was anybody like, "Why are you? Have you been crying?"
They're like, "You," because I told them I'm gonna cry tonight, and they're like, "How did you cry?" I'm like, "Yeah, for 3 hours straight.
Did they
it was worth it."
Immediately usher in the chaplain.
Immediately, yeah, they did. No, they knew that I had because I was crying at work when I got the tickets. They're like, "Karen, why are you crying?" I was, "Oh, dude, like, oh, I just got tickets." To what? I'm like, "The Foo Fighters." Like, "You're crying about that?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh my god, I thought somebody died." I'm like, "No, I got tickets, man. I got them. So they knew I was gonna cry. They knew it was an emotional experience for me. But yeah, so I think the best show I've ever been to had to have been the Foo Fighters in Alaska.
That's an awesome
crazy
story. I'm just picturing you in your camis just wiping away tears, and them just like, "Oh, that's Mikey. He cries sometimes."
Yeah, I cry a lot. Yeah, I was crying a lot at work that day when I got tickets.
That's awesome.
I was emotional.
So we've gone past our time, which was totally fine. I was wondering at this time, is there any sponsors? Is there anybody that you would like to give a shout out to? Is there anything else that you would like to say to the new budding streamer? Is there any, this is your time. Is there anything you would like to say at this moment?
Yeah, I have a movie coming out. No, there's nothing I need to say. I'm a streamer with no sponsors. I don't like sponsors. I want to do everything on my own. I'm just kidding. That was a joke too. I don't know. I'm not sponsored. I don't really have any type of things I'm pushing out right now. I have nothing. I'm just doing this for fun after work. I'm just, you know what I mean? If you've been in, you know,
right.
You've been in the shit, you know, when you get off work, there's gotta be something that kind of gets you going and gets you looking forward to getting off work so you can have something to do. And this has been my thing that I love that kind of keeps me calm, keeps me good. It's my stress reliever. So, talking about it is amazing. Doing it is amazing. And you know, it's the greatest hobby I ever had was music, and it's the greatest hobby I'll always have, and I love it so much. And I appreciate you for taking the time out to talk about it. I appreciate you experiencing the stream and hanging out and hanging out as much as you have been. It's awesome. I appreciate that. And I really don't have anything else to push out for my stuff. Hey, come to a show if you want to hang out. That's all I got to say.
Absolutely.
You know?
And it's Thong DeLong with an E at the end on Twitch. You can't miss him. He's got a pink purple background. I'm Kali colorblind with the him symbol on his right, and he's got the emo hair covering an eye. You can't miss it. And as somebody who's been part of your community for a little while, I would like to say thank you for doing what you're doing, because it is a great relief off of work. I have recorded your stuff, and I've played it during work because I'm a medical contractor, and they're long days. So I'd like to say thank you for supplying me with the music to help me get through my
day. Of course, dude, I can send – well, how about this? Every time I play a show, I'll just send you the VOD. I'll just send you the link every time.
Perfect.
I didn't know you work long hours. I'll send you the VOD. Yeah, I'll do that.
Some days it's like 12 hours plus, and other days it's like,
oh yeah, you're getting random
vibes. Well, I appreciate that very much, Mikey. I thank you for coming on the podcast. Anytime you want to come back and to be your regular self, I would love it. You got a lot of energy, and it's definitely fun having you on, man. It's a fun conversation. And we kept
it
clean.
Yeah, we did.
What was the name of that one guy's mom? Mrs. Mills or something?
Oh, Mrs. Mills? Yeah, Mrs. Mills, man.
Mrs. Mills, if you're listening, Mikey still thinks you're hot. And with that, this is Castle Comms, and I'm the 8-Bit Nova.
Hell yeah.
Have a good night.